Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. The measles outbreak is spreading to three more states and Washington, D.C., affecting 19 additional people. This is according to an update this morning from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. 121 people are now affected by the highly contagious virus. The vast majority of the cases are in the parts of the largest outbreak that began in Southern California at the Disney theme parks in late December. So what questions do you have about the measles and the vaccine and the vaccination rate and what we can do to try to get hold of this thing and put a stop to the vulnerability that our community has to this? We invite you to the conversation. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. You can email your questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org and tweet us at @tprsource. Our guest this half hour is Dr. Tom Mays. He is the chair of pediatrics at the UT Health Science Center here in San Antonio. And so, Dr. Mays, welcome to The Source.
Well, thank you for having me.
So what is your take on the fact that here we have a virus that we thought we had beaten, and now it has reared its ugly head again?
Well, it's first of all, it's frightening on a lot of levels. The biggest triumph in my 30 years of practicing pediatrics is actually that we have doubled the number of diseases that we can prevent by immunization before the age of two. And I think one of the biggest health triumphs we've had is actually immunization and all it's done to prevent infectious disease, many of which can kill you. And so the current measles epidemic is frightening on a host of levels. I think one is for the children or adults who get measles. While it's generally something that people will get over, there is a small risk, and I'm talking about 1 in 1,000, from dying from measles. And I think many people forget that children and adults can die from infectious diseases. There's no effective antiviral treatment for measles, so any care that's provided for someone who develops encephalitis or inflammation of the brain or pneumonia from measles, it's only supportive care, so there's no specific treatments for that. And in fact, about 1 out of 1,000 kids or adults who get measles will die from it. And today, 400 children per day die across the world from measles.
So a lot of people think of measles as they put it in the kind of same categories like chicken pox or something.
Sure.
But you're saying and you're reminding us that measles is actually a more serious disease, 1 in 1,000 fatalities, but also a lot of children lose hearing from it.
That's correct.
And so, and how? What's the percentage of that? You know,
I think it's about 1 in 500 or something like that. It's not everybody that gets measles has these complications, but the children that have complications can have severe complications for something that is preventable.
And measles is highly contagious. So how easily is it spread?
It is extremely easily spread. In fact, it's one of the more contagious viruses. And I kind of the way to think about it in terms of contagiousness is to compare it to other things. And the one that would be the one that's out in the news now is Ebola virus. Ebola virus requires direct transmission from body fluids. HIV, the AIDS virus, requires direct transmission from body fluids. Measles is transmitted through the respiratory tract, through air, and people talk about 90 to 99% infectivity. So that means one person standing in a room with 99 unimmunized or not immune people can spread measles to that entire crowd just from a short period of time being exposed to them.
I heard that a person with measles walks into a room, hangs out there for a bit, walks out for 2 hours, that room is contagious.
That's correct.
So you can see how one person going to Disneyland and hopping on a ride could spread this to many, many others.
That's correct. That's correct. And so one of the things that's important for the listeners is understanding about how immunizations work, not only for an individual, but also for a population.
The herd immunity.
That's right, the so-called herd immunity. So measles vaccination is currently given in the United States as part of either a triple or quadruple vaccine, measles, mumps, rubella, or measles, mumps, rubella, and varicella. The first immunization for measles is 95% effective. That's given around 18 months of age, 15 to 18 months of age. The second is between age 4 and 6, which increases somebody's immunity to a 98 to 99% level. But let's say it's 98%. That means despite being fully immunized, there's 2 out of 100 kids who are not immune to the disease. And the concept of herd immunity is a population concept. And basically, and people think of herds of cattle, which is what you ought to think of, is that if you get enough of animals, or people in this case, together, and if they are able to protect themselves by being in a herd, whether that's from a predator in the case of wild animals, or people in the case of infections, having most of the herd, most of the group, immunized will prevent spread of the disease to those people who either don't take with the immunization, are not immunized, or have some disease process which prevents them from getting immunized, such as a child with cancer under treatment or somebody with some other immune deficiency.
So for people who were depending on herd immunity, people who were suspicious of vaccinations, saying, well, if no one else has it, then my kid won't get it, when you reach critical mass with these, with the number of people not getting vaccinated, right, you create, you end herd immunity.
That's correct.
Especially with something this contagious.
That's correct.
All right, let's go to the phone lines. Saul has called in. Saul, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes, how are you?
Doing good, sir.
My comment might be a little over the top, but I don't know, I came across this. If you leave a child in a hot car, you'll get arrested for child abuse. If the child comes to school with bruises, they call Child Protective Service. My question is, why isn't not vaccinating a child, especially if the child dies, not tantamount to child abuse? And I'm surprised that there's not going to be more litigation from one parent to another saying, because of you, you know, my parent, my child is hurt. That's my comment.
All right, so thank you for calling in. Appreciate it. We've seen other cases where the courts have weighed in, where under a religious umbrella, parents have refused to treat children for cancer and other things. Why is vaccination different?
Well, I think one of the things that's different about vaccination is it's a public health issue. And so when we're talking about a public health issue, you're not talking about not only what would happen to a child who's not immunized, but also what would happen to other children who are not immunized, or who have been immunized and the immunization didn't work.
Right. So I mean, we're saying, why can't the courts order people? Why
well, I think a difference is that vaccination on some level is a medical treatment, and medical treatments do require consent from the people receiving treatment. And I think that and again, I'm not an attorney, but sure, I think the courts are going to get very nervous about
We've seen judges order parents to take kids to chemotherapy who have cancer or other treatments, saying and not allowing them to depend on, you know, praying or something, you know. So we've seen the court step in and requiring this, but right now our mentality is that this is parenting, and we don't want the government to get involved in parenting. But maybe now we're coming to a different conclusion. We're going to keep talking about the vaccinations, about the measles and other things. Invite you to join the conversation. Number is 210-614-8980. Where is parenting stop and public health begin? What should happen next? The number is 210-614-8980. This is The Source on KSTX. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We're seeing the continued spreading of measles throughout the country. New numbers from the Center for Disease Control and Prevention showing new states are being impacted as this once-beaten virus returns to the United States and to the heartland. And we invite your calls and questions. Number is 210-614-8980. And with me to talk about this is Dr. Tom Mays. He's the chair of pediatrics at the UT Health Science Center here in San Antonio. Let's get a caller on the air. Hey, Patrick. Patrick, welcome to The Source.
Yeah, good afternoon. Thank you for having me. I'm just really kind of piggybacking on your last caller's comments. We seem to solve most of issues like that in here through litigation. Why not make it a liability issue? If I have a child going through the school that allows another child to come in that's not vaccinated and it creates a problem, then I can sue the school or I can sue the parents of that child that brought that child in into the system.
Okay, Patrick, good question. And doctor, you're not a lawyer, are you?
I'm not an attorney. No.
Okay, but anything you can add to that?
Well, I think I certainly see the caller's point of view. But I would also say that at least in my world, pediatricians educate parents. We educate parents on how best to take care of their children. And I know in our practice in pediatrics at the medical school and the department, what we'll do is we will work with parents so that they get over the misinformation that they've been given about safety of vaccinations and why they're important. And then at some point, many pediatricians across the country will discontinue a physician-patient relationship with a child if immunizations are not being given to that child. That's at one extreme. My belief is that that most people who are reasonable, most people who love their children, will respond to education. They'll respond to discussion. They will respond to not being ignored.
So there are people who are willing to take any issue and turn it into a political football for their advantage. And I think the same that can be said for this case with the measles. Some people have said that the measles came in from the children from Central America that we saw this past summer. Any evidence of that?
None whatsoever. As you may recall, when I was here in the summer talking about the migration of children from Central America, there were no infectious diseases that were identified that would have been prevented by immunization. There were children with scabies and typical childhood problems that you would find in the United States as well. In fact, most countries in Central America have higher immunization rates than we do in South Texas. And so those children actually come to the country better immunized than many of our children along the border, U.S. children along the border. So there's no evidence to date, and I can speak certainly for the state of Texas, that anybody has gotten measles as a result of a child crossing the border. There's been one case in the state of Texas, Tarrant County, up in the Fort Worth area, of measles, again, felt to be related to people traveling.
And we're not really seeing a measles outbreak in Central America either.
No.
It's not there. But we are seeing one in Europe. And last year, Europe had 3,840 measles cases. Italy alone had about 2,000 cases. They have a problem with vaccinations there. Maybe it's more likely that it was a kid from Europe that brought the measles to Disney Park.
It could have been a child from a country in Asia where there's lower rates of immunization. So hard to know.
But people are so willing to point a finger to these kids from Central America. Let's go back to the phone lines with Hugh. Hugh, welcome back to The Source. You're on the air.
Yeah, I'm pushing 70, and years ago I got a single measles shot. Standard is 2 shots. Should I go down and get myself a second shot?
Yeah, and even if you're not 70, thanks Hugh for that call. You know, if you're just a spry 50-year-old, should I go?
So the reality is you probably don't need to get a shot. It's presumed that people born before 1959 are immune simply because the disease was so prevalent and everybody was exposed. Once you're exposed and you get over it, you survive it, you're immune. And so the general recommendation is that if you have measles and you're 70, so that's going to put you earlier than 1959, that in and of itself is probably sufficient. The fact that you've had a measles vaccination on top of that virtually guarantees that you are immune to measles.
Okay, another caller with Jim. Hey, Jim, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I wanted to ask the doctor, the studies and the evidence certainly is overwhelming that the vaccinations are beneficial. Have there been any specific studies recently with modern science on the alleged problems, the autism, the the cancers. Are there any studies that have focused specifically on that in recent years?
The answer is there have been a number of studies that have looked at the link between the vaccination, the measles vaccination in particular, and autism. The whole issue arose from a study that was published in Lancet, which is a prestigious medical journal in Great Britain in 1998 by a guy named Andrew Wakefield. That is a totally discredited study, and he ended up getting the article retracted, which is a big screaming deal for a big journal to retract an article.
He eventually lost his medical
license. And so there have been numerous studies that have not linked measles vaccination to autism. And measles vaccines, like all treatments, will have some side effects. The most common one is a little bit of fever. And there are risks associated with all vaccinations. But what I would say to your audience is this is a public health measure, and it's not only to protect the child, but it's also to help to protect the community. And what I liken it to is seatbelts. And my practice is pediatric critical care medicine, intensive care medicine. So I see the kids who are in auto accidents. I see lots of lives saved by having a seatbelt on. I also see injuries caused by having that seatbelt on. In the scheme of things, better not to die than to have an injury associated with something like a seatbelt. I will tell you that I, as a critical care doctor, I took care of children in an epidemic in the 1980s in Houston related to immunization, and it's ugly. I mean, I think most physicians of my generation or younger have not seen much measles. I have seen measles. I've seen children die from measles, and to be honest with you, those deaths were horrible deaths, and they were unnecessary deaths. So I'm very much a proponent for measles vaccination. There's no science that ties measles and autism together.
So do you think that because people are not familiar with these outcomes, with seeing children die, this horrible death from actual measles, that they think that this is an unknown danger to them, and so they're willing to, you know, bet their children's lives that vaccination let's not get the vaccination?
Yeah, I don't really think most parents say, I'm going to bet my child's life on this. I think that they don't think that to themselves. I think what they're thinking is, based on what they know, much of which is misinformation, that the risk of some immunization is much greater than the risk associated with getting the disease. But that's actually not the case. And so this is more misinformation than people really deciding to take a bet on their child's lives. There are some people that will do that, but the vast majority of parents will actually will make these decisions based on what they understand is best for their children. Unfortunately, there's too much misinformation out there, and hopefully we're clearing some of that up today.
Some people have taken to social media to do measles parties with their kids, thinking that if I can get my child infected while he's healthy, and then he'll build up natural immunity and won't need a shot.
Yeah, we had those when I was growing up. They're chickenpox parties. And
yeah.
So someone in the neighborhood got chickenpox. You had everybody over, and everybody got chickenpox.
And what did you do? Drink out of the same cup or something?
It's another respiratory virus. And okay. So
breathe on my son, will you?
And you know what? The vast majority of children got chickenpox. They got their rash, and then they were over with it, and then they were immune. And then there were the children who had the complications of varicella or chickenpox. Those complications are pneumonia, encephalitis, and again, in my clinical practice in pediatric critical care medicine, those are the children I end up taking care of. So I would recommend that if a vaccine is available and it's safe, then the vaccine ought to be given as opposed to getting the natural disease.
So if you're given a choice between taking your child to a measles party and thinking that they will get natural immunity, you're actually exposing that child to unnecessary dangers, and they would be better off if you just took them to the doctor and said, I need a measles shot.
Absolutely correct. And those shots are also available not only at a physician's office, I recommend that be the case, but they're also available in a number of drugstores across the country, public health clinics. So they're readily available, but I think the most important thing is that children get immunized.
So do you think this has peaked, this outbreak that we're having right now?
I don't know. I think that the rate of rise is pretty rapid. So in the first 5 weeks of this year, we've had 112 cases, 121 cases.
121.
Last year in the United States, there were 644. That's an average of 50 a month. And now we're already at 100 plus a month. So I think it'll spread and then it'll die out, just like these types of viral epidemics do.
And so we've seen some politicians claiming that people have a right not to vaccinate their children. But when we had the Ebola outbreak, a lot of these were the same politicians who were locking up nurses and stuff, requiring them. So it seems, depending upon the public perception and the hysteria, that they're what they thought was appropriate would change.
Yeah, I can't really comment on how elected leadership thinks, sure, because it's all over the place. But I think in both cases, folks would be much better off listening to
science,
the scientists and right, the physicians who take care of these people.
Dr. Tom Mays, Chair of Pediatrics at the UT Health Science Center, thank you so much. Appreciate you talking to us about vaccinations and measles. This is The Source on KSTX. Thanks for tuning us in.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is produced by Paul Flav and David Martin Davies. Elena Soros is our intern. Our engineer is Doug DeMore. Management and oversight provided by VP of Programming Wayne Coble. Production assistance is provided by me, Ruben Garcia. The Source is a production of Texas Public Radio. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation and the GAC Health Foundation.